Добрый день.
Good day. We're starting a new course, Life Skills. Today in the studio, Dr. Lightman.
Hello.
Topic of today is the essence of human relations. So we would like to find out from you about the meaning of human relations. We know you've studied Kabbalah for many years, which studies the relationships between people, and this is a one way to look at relationships in society. And this course is about human relationships, and the next one course is about the inner world of a human. What are the emotions, thoughts, consciousness, all things that make a person. And we'd like to find out from your point of view. We know a lot from psychology, from the internet that anyone can find, but from the point of view of Kabbalah, have never looked at it like this. So first topic is the essence of human relations. So the definition of interpersonal relationships is when two that are entering into contact create something new, a third, a relationship between them, which is often has emotional experiences. How would you define what is the essence of relationships between people from your point of view?
Yeah, it's some kind of a common mutual state, but possibly even before the appearance of this common state, every impression in each of those two people when they meet, it changes. In each of us, new concepts, relations are being born, positive, negative, different kinds, meaning something new that did not exist before is born in that collision between the two. And here everything depends on the measure to which we prepare ourselves for these kinds of meetings. Did our upbringing prepare us for them, and so on? So actually, what we have to be concerned with is not the contact between people themselves, but how do we prepare people for them? Like a mother sending off her child to kindergarten, school, or even to a friend. She tells him how to behave, how should he look at others, accept others, and so on. So we have to understand that in each of us, a completely new feeling is formed. The feeling of the perception of another person. And when I suppose I accept a friend and he accepts me, from these feelings, what comes is some kind of a new, common, mutual thing, connection, and in it is the goal of our upbringing. What kind of a common platform would we like to make between us?
You know that any relations are often require the exchange of information, and that's the foundation of our relations. So it could be passed verbally. We know that all of creations from inanimate objects that fluctuate, flowers have smells, and animals make sounds. A human, besides speech, has this special ability to think abstract, and that's what makes him human. not just speech, because speech exists in everything, but we can pass abstract information. Do you think that's correct? And why are we giving such ability?
The thing is that we got this ability. It appeared in us because we really have to transmit, communicate a special form of information that you can't communicate in any other way. Meaning a person is superior to the animal world and is considered a human being because he has to connect, communicate with others. Precisely in that realm in which there are no other corporeal communications.
For example, flowers have smells, animals can make sounds to let others know of danger or where to find food, but a human can sit for hours and talk about things that he's never seen, things he only imagined, myths, abstract things. Why is it? What is it for?
It's because he's a human being. He's superior to the animal world in terms of having to receive and give, absorb in himself, process an enormous amount of information that you can't pass on by any corporeal means. Not through smells, not through certain fluctuations, not sounds even. He has to pass it on through communicated, through speech, through a certain amount of sounds. Not that many, by the way. And in this combination of sounds, he can communicate a tremendous amount of information, actually an endless amount of information, unlimited, because the combination of sounds, or if it's not sounds, then visual combinations, could be of any kind, but the combination between them gives birth to certain codes, words, phrases, and here a person is far beyond, far more advanced than the previous levels, where he is only on the level of the animal world.
So can we say that a person, as designed by nature, must develop to a certain state, and then in that state he can pass on with speech to another person that's not in that state?
Of course, and that's the main thing.
So I can explain something to you that to some worlds about the future that doesn't exist yet.
Completely abstract things that only I grasp.
And that you never felt, and I can explain to you and you'll believe it.
Yeah, I grasp it, and with its help, I can advance.
Yeah, and this is most important, to ability to progress and move forward. This ability gives people ability to progress, and that would differentiate us from animals. So I'm not talking about other types of communication, games, music, writing.
Well, it also exists to some extent in animals, too.
A second means of communication is nonverbal. It's gestures, facial expressions, appearance in general. I'd like to know from you, from your point of view, how much attention should we pay to these skills, how much do they express the connection between people?
Those that study the wisdom of Kabbalah, we actually don't really dedicate any attention to all of these kinds of communication, because we don't see in them the ability to transmit information from a higher level that's above the human psychology. that's above human knowledge, perception, and so on. And therefore, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, we're engaged only in the ability to prepare a person for spiritual perception. And spiritual perception is something that you cannot... There's no other way but to teach, give a person certain skills with the help of which he himself will start grasping, perceiving these spiritual actions on himself, and with the help of certain spiritual techniques, non-physical ones. They're not external or anything. He will start adapting himself to the spiritual world.
This is interesting because the most information, most communication is received visually, because 85%, 90% of information is received through our eyes. And the words are much less. So the oratory skills, how you stand, how you gesture, that determines the success of whether you'll be heard or not. So here, it looks like it's the opposite.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the masses.
Yeah, we're not talking about the passing of knowledge, but about what?
What we're talking about, what we're saying, is that there is a certain limited amount of people that really want to receive spiritual information from us, that understand, or that will understand, that it is impossible to communicate it by the same methods as we do with information in our world, but we can prepare them for it. For them to reach a state where they themselves will be able to grasp the upper, higher spiritual information from the higher, upper world.
Okay, well, we understand this. You, with your students that are developing spiritually, but we're talking about a course, integral education, where people have come to unite so they can live a better life. So there and that, do we need these verbal skills?
Yeah, it's very important. But I'm unfamiliar with it. I'm not engaged in it, so I can't really help you. Because my profession, all of my knowledge, all of my experience, it's and passing on to people in different forms sometimes. Usually it's through sound, sometimes also through graphical images. An understanding of the upper world so they can adapt themselves to it and in their connection to come to a point where they can start feeling it.
Okay, then we'll move on. The classification of interpersonal relations. So it's necessary to distinguish between different connections. Man between himself, man and his family, man and his collective, and man and the other people. So with each of these types of communication, in principle. So for example, man and nature, what should be the main principle of this higher nature? Yeah, of course.
Higher nature. The principle has to be simple, that a person has to bring himself to a state where he comes closer to the upper nature, higher nature, or the inner nature. It is based on the quality of bestowal, love, connection, mutual help, and so on. Meaning, the very opposite of a person who is in an egoistic state of sheer love toward himself. So if we direct ourselves that way to perceive, grasp nature through this key, then we will actually...
We reveal it.
Yeah.
Okay, so next, a person with himself.
He should relate to himself as toward a kind of detector, a kind of perceiving device that is under certain conditions, and he has to use himself and those conditions in order to reveal to himself the essence of all that is going on, the true nature of our world.
And you know, a person spends most of the time speaking to himself, keeping a dialogue with himself. And we understand that it happens subconsciously, but can it be controlled in some way? About what should a person keep a dialogue with himself or to not pay attention to it?
No, there's an entire method in the wisdom of Kabbalah about a person's relations with himself, with the group, with the friends, with the Creator. In this regard, a person has to always be in a constant flow of information.
So there is as if this inner world in a person, and there is also the family, how I perceive it internally, and there's this external family, wife, kids, that I need to communicate with. But we're talking in general, what kind of relation should be with the family? The main principle.
Man and family.
Yes.
Family is, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's that... How to say?
A surrounding?
That animate surrounding, I mean, of this world. Not that it's, you know, a disregard in any way, but it is a person's surrounding that allows him to correctly exist in a good, comfortable way in our world, in a practical way as much as possible.
Can we say that a family is an example? So I love my kids, I love my wife, and I relate to them instinctually. So I'm not required to relate to them altruistically. So the nature gives us this example, how to relate to other people as well.
No, the thing is that we can't order others without taking order them by our relate by our attitude, without taking them into consideration. The relations that we have to build in our family is we have to take care of the still vegetative inanimate levels in order for you to be able to provide for your so-called household their basic needs, rational basic needs. That's it.
And why did nature create it such that so the person doesn't just live in some society, but must be in this kind of small cubbyhole that's closed to him to survive?
This is because everything comes from the soil, from the inanimate level, then the vegetative, then the animate. So in order to sustain and cultivate and develop all of these levels inside us, regardless of maybe us already being on a much higher level, still we have to keep existing on those levels. And therefore, any great Kabbalist, as great as he might be, still has a family, and to a certain extent, he cares for them, even though that his inner spiritual essence, his spiritual connections, the system that he starts to discover himself and exist in, it has nothing to do, nothing common with the kinds and types of communication that he has inside his family.
So we could say it so that these are the basic desires of a person.
Yeah, on the animate level.
So society cannot fulfill these desires, and we see that in our times, and that a person doesn't really require a family because it's like an option. Before it was before
couldn't exist without a family.
So during the life, a person has many contacts. Some say no more than 150 contacts, friends, the social net that a person could be in contact with at the time. We're not talking about Facebook, but we're talking about a person you can speak with. So a person can't keep more than 150. About so in life, a person can meet in a week and can meet more people that he's met in his whole lifetime is in the past. So what do these contacts give us? These one-time contacts, you met somebody once and then what?
The thing is that we have no idea what are we involved with here. We as if stumble upon each other by chance, but it's not so. The thing is that we have to understand, acknowledge that the connections between us, they're all evaluated according to the influence in general of the general desire over us that is included of the still vegetative, animate, and human throughout all of human history and society and everything. Meaning, nothing is random. Nothing happens by chance, but everything is directed toward us realizing the connections between all of us in a way that eventually we will achieve complete connection between all bearers of the main fundamental basic desires, crucial desires.
You know, there is an interesting research from Harvard for over 70 years, and including over 700 people, where they studied the happiness of people and found that the main factor in happiness was the relationships. So on one hand, we see that we want to be happy. On the other hand, we see that the main factor is relationships. But we instead invest in the money, into medicine. We spend so much time becoming healthier. But the main factor is and no matter how much we try and invest, we're not coming to realize that the relationships are the most important. It's written, it's researched, but we as people, as simple people, when it comes to life, we don't focus on this. I mean, it's for our egoism. Why can't we even egoistically realize this?
It's because the ego, as said, it's called help made against him, meaning it's not just an ego that pushes you to do what's good for you, what you feel like. Not at all. It is a very unique kind of help. And what it pushes you toward isn't for you to achieve the most comfortable animate state for yourself, but in order to bring you to a higher state, only in a special way. The ego is based on you wanting to revoke your ego, to rise above it, but it is all the time pushing you in the opposite, way. So what turns out is that it's, in Hebrew, it's called Ezel Kenegdo, meaning help made against you. That in our world, there is no greater helper, nothing that helps our development more than our ego, even though that it puts us in constant collision with our own selves. And It constantly awakens us to strife, contradictions, and everything, and all that in order to find out and scrutinize who we really are.
Okay, understood. So the goodwill of a person depends on 45% of their heritage. So it looks like there's a percentage of people that are already destined to succeed and the others to fail. Why is it so?
Well, it's because in order to give us an illusion of freedom of choice, freedom of decision-making, freedom of actions, it's in order to build this illusion in us that we're free people, that as if I'm the one who decides everything, to reveal a world to me that is as if right in front of me in a free state.
And what scale of values should we determine if relations are good or bad between people?
That's very hard to determine because the thing is that it depends on a person's intention, and a person's intention is something that we don't see. It's something that's hidden from us. And that's why the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the hidden wisdom, because what it is engaged in are intentions, not forces like in physics or psychology or anything else, but intentions that are above the forces and qualities and everything else. And therefore, here, an ordinary person, I mean, is weak and his relations in this regard.
A last question. Could you comment on what was written in the Mishnah, third or fourth century of our era, about the type of relationships there is? For example, mine is mine and yours is yours. There's mine is yours and yours is mine. Mine is yours, yours is yours. And all the variations. And mine is mine and yours is mine. As a criminal. So the worst is when mine is mine and yours is mine. Why is it
so? That's pretty clear, because it rejects people, pushes them away from each other, not connecting them in any way, not even through negative means. And therefore, you have no way to scrutinize your relations or who you are, but it simply pushes you away from each other, bring the world to a freeze.
So even mine is mine and yours is mine, a criminal, is that that's even better than...
Eventually, it brings you closer, yes.
That's hard to understand.
No, it's something that we see. Like in a family, when we talked about families that fight, it's normal, so they fight, so what? There's connection, there's communication, but families that decided that that's it, we have no contact with each other, then here you can't do anything. They push each other away, and that's that. They move away from each other, and divorce is inevitable.
The conclusion we can make here is that the tendency of nature is that we're developing towards closeness. So any kind of types of contact is beneficial. So
the main thing is the connection. Afterwards, it's correct realization.
Okay, we have 2 minutes left. So by tradition, we have blitz questions and quick answers. Personal. How do you understand the expression being yourself?
To find yourself.
What advice has helped you in life the most?
That everything that happens on our way to wholeness and perfection.
What was your most brave decision?
I don't know. probably I didn't make it yet.
What is the biggest disappointment you have encountered?
Probably at the beginning of my path that I discovered that I'm incapable of anything.
What is the most incredible coincidence that has happened in your life?
When I discovered that all people are exactly like I am, and that in everyone there is the exact same opportunity of being righteous or wicked and so on.
What episode in your life you were most ashamed of?
I think when I understood and acknowledged that everything comes from above, I no longer had that question. And the feeling of shame appears only when a person is standing before the Creator, understanding that he was given certain qualities in order to become like the Creator, and he did not do it. But in everything else, the Creator is in control.
What event has caused the greatest fear in your life?
Fear? I don't know. Can't remember.
Is it true that old age has its advantages?
Every age has its advantages. The question is, how do you perceive old age and weakness?
What was the nicest day of your life?
When I found myself before my teacher for the very first time.
Do you have a motto?
Forward, always.
What are the biggest difficulties that you experienced in your life on the way to the goal and despite them achieve success?
When I don't feel that I'm getting any kind of resistance, that I'm forgotten about, that I have enemies, then that's the worst thing.
What have you radically changed in your life, and how did it work out for you?
I left behind all of my work, previous studies, changed profession, changed everything in my life entirely in order to be able to study Kabbalah.
What would happen if the earth was full of people with maximum intellect?
Nah.
Would there be peace?
And we need to leave all that alone. We have to do what we have to do, meaning in the framework that we exist in, that He birthed us in, and in that framework to try and become like Him.
In which case is it correct to stop a relationship?
I think that it doesn't depend on a person.
Does the appearance of a person influence how you relate to a person?
Sometimes, partially. I really look at how the person's appearance is. Does he want to connect with
others? What's the right way to calm people down?
To sympathize with them, identify with them.
What relationships have you remembered the most in your life?
Mutual help. What happens between two people?
What kind of relationship should we come to in the end?
To a point where I will feel no difference, no distance between myself and others.
Thank you very much. This was a meeting, a lesson on topic of the essence of human relations. Until next time.